WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
On the air for another week. It was Memorial Day edition of Monday Night Raw featuring plexiglass and social distancing. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin. That's Lindsay Ward.
We had a change of, I guess, the guard, in which we went from no crowds to some crowd. I'm Monday Night Raw, so could this be a glimpse of the future of what wrestling could look like for WWE with the plexiglass and the socially distanced fans and everything like that? I did feel bad for them because they had to stand for the whole 3 hours. That kind of sucked.
Here's the thing. All right, spoiler alert. There's 2 Raws tonight. Today.
Still had to stand.
They have to stand for both of them.
That sucks. Like, you couldn't get them chairs. I mean, I understand you don't want people touching things, but chairs? Come on, man.
I think a few of them were sitting by the end.
I mean, that's a long time. And I understand that they weren't standing the entire 3 hours, but because we did have backstage segments and whatnot, I'm sure they were allowed to sit during those, or, you know, they shot all the matches first or whatever, however this was done. But yeah, chairs. Chairs would be nice for people.
Chairs would, I mean... Just ask George Costanza. He knows a good chair. But, yeah. Okay, so, I know that, let's get it out of the way. AEW has had people in the crowd. Yes, they have. But they also weren't practicing the best of social distance. Were they tested? Yes, but practicing social distancing is a little bit different than just having them there and test it. WWE's doing their own version of testing, and it is what it is. And everyone was tested and cleared and clean and... They came and did their job, which they should have. WWE went the extra mile. They put up a plexiglass hockey-style barricade so that you had a distinction between the crowd and what's going on in the ring, which was good and bad because it looked weird at points, but it was also the best safety precaution you could take because you're limiting the contact the sweaty performers were having with the crowd.
Yeah, and why I asked if this was a glimpse of the future is, could this be when WWE finally allows us regular fans, not the wonderful NXT wrestlers who were kind enough to come and cheer, and hopefully Raw and SmackDown return the favor for NXT. But when the regular fans are allowed to return to wrestling, will the plexiglass be a part of it, and are they already kind of conditioning the audience
to be prepared for that and the fact that you will no longer be allowed to interact with your favorite performers. Because part of going to the show and part of getting ringside seats or rampside seats, however you want to look at it, is getting a chance to get a high five from your favorite performer or slap them on the back or whatever. Like, there, you go for that interaction factor and you sit that low for the interaction factor. That, and you want to be really, really close to the action. But the main reason is you want to interact with talent. Now it's something that you are not allowed to. You shouldn't because of COVID. Now, that could change, and that probably will change as we progress with vaccines and whatnot, and eventually a certain level of safety is established where all of this can sort of maybe go away, but we don't know how long that's going to take. So for the time being, I think WWE is also trying to, one, figure stuff out, and two, condition the fans for when we are allowed back in. These are the new rules. It's only going to be a handful of people. You will be kept 6 feet apart at all times. I should say, because not everybody stayed 6 feet apart the entire
time.
But
they were practicing. They weren't touching.
They weren't touching. They weren't high-fiving. They were being careful. And the screens were there, and they did the screens in a way where they really weren't that obtrusive. You didn't notice them after a while.
The only time you noticed them when they were on the entrance ramp because of the glare.
Yeah. Beyond that, you really didn't see them, which was nice. Cause when I heard that this afternoon, I was like, oh my God, it's going to look awful. And thankfully it didn't. Thankfully it looked okay, but
it looked like a hockey game.
It looked weird for a minute. Like, it was just like, this doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right, but then you got used to it, and then it looked like a hockey game to me.
I don't watch hockey.
I know, but it looked like a hockey game. So, because I'm used to seeing the glass, it's not anything, it wasn't weird to me.
I'm not used to seeing it. It was weird to me to start, but by the end of the show, it was fine. It was nice to have people back in the building and cheering and making noise and that kind of thing. And I like how they kind of set that example with the social distancing and everything. So that was good. And it added a little something to the show, which has been missing. And that is fans. That is cheering, because part of wrestling is interactive. It is the fans screaming and yelling and booing and everything else. And they haven't had that since March. And it has been impacting the product. It has been hurting the product. It's not as engaging without the fans for multiple reasons. And so they tried, you know, AEW did it first. AEW showed success with it. So WWE is like, okay, let's give it a try and let's see what it does for our product. And I feel like it did improve the product tonight.
It added an element that was missing, because reactions are a part of wrestling, and that's what we got tonight. We started off the show with the Kevin Owens show. His guest was Asuka. He shamelessly plugged Becky's new t-shirt at WWEshop.com, because Asuka came out chanting, Becky, Becky, Becky.
She's so happy Becky's a mom.
Well, because she has the title. Two, she's awesome. Out came Charlotte. She interrupted. She told Asuka that the Raw Women's title should be handed to her instead, and Flair talked about how Asuka's never beaten her. Natty came out. What? Okay, going back to Charlotte for a second.
Why was Charlotte in this match?
We'll get to the match in a minute. One, Kevin Owens picking up the piece of feather and handing it back to Charlotte. Here's your feather from your robe.
You lost this, ma'am. Please take this with you. Most Canadian thing ever.
Two, When Natty made her entrance, Kevin Owens got rid of all his set pieces, so she wouldn't trash his set.
That was hilarious. Natty comes out and Kevin starts grabbing signs and taking everything out of the ring. He's like, nope, 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 don't want my stuff trashed. Nope, 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 nope. I know what this means. I am just going to clear the ring, and then I'm going to leave, and they are going to fight, and it's going to be fine.
So Nia then came out, and they've all been jawjacking, and at one point Kevin Owens goes to Asuka, well, before I go, whatever you do next, just don't hit Nia in the face. She then did a spinning back fist right to the face of Nia, as the four women brawled. I enjoyed the crowd. Again, crowd elements helped this segment.
This was good. This was entertaining. I like this a lot. I like how they're writing Asuka right now. I was not a fan of everybody that went into this match, because again, I will ask the question, beyond they needed the star power, which I appreciate, they needed the star power without Becky, why is the NXT Women's Champion in this match? Why?
Because she's the Queen Charlotte Flair, and she can fight for any championship she chooses.
Can she?
Well, she attempted to. It was Nia Jax and Natalya and Charlotte Flair in a triple threat match for the number one contendership. You had Charlotte and Natty put Nia Jax through a table, the announce table at one point. You had Asuka at ringside. It ended with Charlotte putting Natty in the figure four into the figure eight. But before she can get to the figure eight, it was a leg drop by Nia Jax. And then a Samoan drop on Natty for the 1, 2, 3. Nia Jax is your number one contender.
I want to be happy about this. I really, really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't get into Nia. I just can't do it, because I think I've seen people who are filling that role that she's technically supposed to be filling of this monster badass heel much more effectively than she is. And I'm not trying to slight her or insult her. I just can't connect with her. I just can't do it. Like, I'm trying really super hard, but it's just like, oh God, no. No. Because I'm going to ask a question. Where's Shayna Baszler?
That's a very, very good question.
I mean, why isn't Shayna Baszler in this match? Or better yet, where's Rhea Ripley? Why isn't Rhea Ripley in this match? I'm not trying to replace Nia by any stretch of the imagination, but I just feel like they've presented characters doing the same type of gimmick that Nia's trying to do, and they're doing it better with a little bit more credibility, I feel like, than she had. Plus, Nia just came back. Like, just came back. Like, what? A week ago? Two weeks ago?
The night after WrestleMania.
A month ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm having a hard time connecting to her because I've connected to other wrestlers that have been there since she's been absent for a year, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that will change for me, but I was not a fan of these choices. I was not a fan of Charlotte being in the match. I can't connect to Nia. And I don't know. What is going on with Natty?
Natty's unprofessional because she was apparently took a phone call from her husband, TJ, while she was supposed to do a live interview.
Okay. I'm going to say this because I have to. Natty Neidhart is the embodiment of professionalism. You have to watch 5 minutes or less of Total Divas to figure that out. Like, I'm sorry, I can't buy Natty as unprofessional. I can't do it because I know it's not true. Natty is like I said, the literal embodiment of professionalism. She carries herself with such class and poise and has such an incredible work ethic and respect for wrestling and what she does that, no, I'm sorry, I cannot buy Natty as unprofessional. I just can't do it. Please don't make me, because it's not going to happen. Now, other people it might, but I don't know about you, but I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I can't.
I don't buy it.
Like, no. Just no. I mean, the match itself was good. The match itself was fine. I have no qualms with the match, but there's just stuff going on here that it's like, no, can we talk about this? Because it's like, you've been pushing Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's been winning matches. Where was she in this? Where's Shayna Baszler?
Well, we saw where Liv was. She was cutting a promo later, which we'll get to.
Why? Okay, I'm going to ask the question, why was it Bianca Belair in this match? Why was Bianca Belair sitting in the audience?
I don't know.
What? Somebody explain that one to me. I have so many questions about why this was set up the way that it was, and I understand why it was set up the way it was for star power, because they're trying to, at this point, fill a void that Becky has left, and I understand and respect that, but there were choices that could have been different, and it would have been fine. But that's okay. That's fine. I respect their decisions. Please move on.
Liv Morgan was backstage. She talked about what might surprise you about her is her biggest stumbling block in life has been her own self-worth. She said she can't even remember feeling as though she was good enough. She finally found that she was missing when she found WWE and bought her first piece of wrestling gear with her name on it. She said she may not have all the answers because life changes all the time, but she knows she's alive and will fulfill who she's always destined to be. I'm living my best life.
Good for her.
Also on the show, we crowned a new U.S. champion as Apollo Crews beat Andrade.
This was a good match. Apollo hit Zelina and gave Andrade a very big mad, and the two had an argument about it. And then for some really strange reason, Angel Garza was talking about sex during this match. I don't know why.
I was very confused.
I'm not sure what that has to do with wrestling, but okay. It was a little weird. I like what they're doing with Angel Garza. I like how they've taken him away from being that suave ladies' man, because I think everybody called them out on that bullshit.
I mean, he was still talking about sex and, you know, in front of Kayla and stuff.
But so still, they've kind of backed away from him being that, like, basically the stereotypical Latin lover. Like, they've backed off of that. Because, again, everybody, I think, called them out and was like, he's married. We know he's married. Like, you're mocking the sanctity of marriage on television with this guy. Stop it. And I think they did. I really think they did. Or at least they backed off of it for a while.
Speaking of Angel Garza, he attacked Kevin Owens on his way to the ring, leading to Angel Garza beating Kevin Owens in an upset.
This is good. This is really good. I liked the attack.
The attack worked. It was a quick little match, but the attack worked because Kevin's a little banged up, so it played into all of that. Seth Rollins, he talked about, you know, everything that's been going on. He has Rey Mysterio's mask. He was in a dark place after Money in the Bank, but Mysterio presented himself at a time of need, and basically he sacrificed Rey Mysterio to fulfill his duty to become the greater good. He spoke about of the pain that Mysterio and his family must have felt, and specifically mentioned Dominic. Rollins said he doesn't know what the future holds for Rey Mysterio, but if this was his final act as a WWE wrestler, it was a courageous one. He said it allowed them to move forward into the future, and then he introduced Austin Theory and Murphy, his disciples, and they've been underutilized and underappreciated. Now, their ceilings are limitless under his guidance.
This is a cleaned-up version of the Wyatt family.
It is. Later in the show, it was Austin Theory and Murphy taking on Black and Humberto Carrillo. Austin Theory and Murphy got the win on Humberto. After the match, Theory and Murphy were attacking Carrillo. But Aleister Black made the save. But then Rollins threatened to, you know, sacrifice Carrillo's eye if Black didn't back off. And he did. Good stuff.
It was very good stuff. I liked it. Again, this feels very much like a Wyatt-esque direction, just extremely cleaned up and a lot of less riddles. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not. I actually really do enjoy this. I really like it. I just get such Wyatt family feels off of it. It's not funny. But I'm liking where they're going with Rollins. I like that Rollins is walking around in the suit. I think it's a very nice touch because, again, it stands him out as the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Seth Rollins has to play the stereotypical asshole. I think that comes naturally to him.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely plays in his favor for sure, but I don't think there's a lot of acting going on there with that one. Anyway, but yeah, I like this. I like where this is going. I like that they've moved him on from Rey Mysterio for right now, and he's kind of using the mask as a prop to taunt Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black. And
also, right, because next week is the Rey Mysterio retirement ceremony hosted by Seth Rollins. So there you go.
So there we go. So I like this. I thought it was good.
It was good. It was fine. So there is that. Other things on the show, we had the Iconics come out, and they were apologizing to one another because they allowed Motion to get a best of the last week, but they apologized. And they said their opportunities have been taken away. They still should be the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Out came Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. They said the Iconics have had every opportunity in the world, and they've blown them. Nikki was all fired up. She's like, you worked hard to get she's worked hard to get where she is. And she was just sort of going off and on. And then Peyton and Billy attacked Bliss and Nikki and left them laying. I'm liking this. I'm liking the aggressive side of the Iconics. They're making a statement. Nikki Cross was really good. Alexa was good in this. All very, really well done.
I liked Alexa's facial expressions as Nikki was going off on the Iconics. But I like how they've got the Iconics being more serious, less of a joke, making them into a real threat. This is what you should be doing. And I look forward to seeing where this goes tremendously. I'm super excited for it. And please don't break up the Iconics. Because I was sitting there watching the beatdown and I'm like, Billy's going to kick Peyton in the face. I can see it. Billy's going to kick Peyton in the face. And she didn't do it, thank God. But yeah, it's like, please don't
please don't break up the Iconics. We all love the Iconics. We haven't had them in a year. Can we enjoy them first? And when I say first, I mean for at least, like, another year.
Mm-hmm.
If not more.
So, anything you can do, I can do better. Scoffing with the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits.
Okay, I just have to applaud all four gentlemen for their outfits. Well done. Well played. The Knickerbocker pants. Yes. All the yes. The Knickerbocker pants with the Viking gear. All the yes. I loved everything about this. This was so good because they were trying to figure out regular golf. They could not figure out regular golf. I felt Raymond Rowe on a spiritual level when he just picked up the golf ball and yeeted it onto the green because F Sam Traps. And then they decided to go to a more gentlemanly game, mini golf.
And then, so they did the whole thing and then they got, you know, woman thought one of them was, Ivar was cute again. Street Profits then announced the scores. The Viking Raiders 144, the Street Profits 28. The Viking Raiders go, yay, we win! And then they realize that they lost because lowest score wins in golf. And then they decided to go 1-on-1 with a Gator.
Happy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Gilmore reference. Whoever did it, I'm very proud of you.
They also were pulling things out of the hole. That was weird.
Honestly, I would not eat a turkey leg that came out of a mini golf hole just because it sits outside and it's probably never cleaned. And two, you don't know how long that thing's down there. Even though it looked very, very fresh and edible and yummy, I'm sorry, I would have fed it to the gator. I just, there's something in me that, like, he pulled that thing out and he's looking at it like he's gonna devour it in one bite. And I'm just cringing. Like, the slight germaphobe, because I'm not one at all, but the slight germaphobe in me went, oh god! No! No, no! Honey, no! You don't know where that's been! Even though it's fine, and it's all for TV, and I know it's for TV, you just have that moment where you're like, somebody stop him! Just tackle him and throw the thing into the water, because he should not be eating that. That's not good for him.
So, I mentioned a few moments ago, The Seth Rollins will be hosting a Rey Mysterio retirement ceremony next week.
Mm-hmm.
WWE and Fox tweets, this seems on the up and up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a...
I mean,
it's a retirement ceremony. It's like a contract signing. Somebody's going to go through a table. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is who?
Mm-hmm. So, Edge was backstage. He talked about... He got caught flat-footed a couple weeks ago. He said he might have been basking in the glow of WrestleMania at that time, but he now finds himself doubting his ability. He said he was retired for 3,212 days, and during that time, Randy Orton wrestled 1,126 matches. Slot matches. Edge says now he realizes he must prove himself to himself. He said the strange thing is that he wants to thank Orton because it made him contemplate things that he hadn't contemplated or had buried very deeply. He said he got home one day and was watching the Last Ride documentary on the WWE Network and saw himself...
Cheap plug!
Saw himself pontificating about when it's time to hang up the boots. And he said he was retired at that point and now here he is. So, dead man, I get it. He then talked about all the different people he's faced. Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle. He said he's adapted every single style when he had... When it was his job to pull people up to his level, that's what he did. He said that was his job, and he was damn good at it. He was a 5-tool workhorse for the company. But all this is in the past tense, because he doesn't know if he can do any of those things anymore. But I'm going to dig to the very depths of my soul and try. That's all a man can do. Good promo.
Excellent promo. Very, very good. Very cheap plug for the Undertaker documentary, which, by the way, if you haven't watched it, please watch it. It's excellent. But yeah, I like this a lot. I like what they're doing with Edge. I like where they're going with this. It's a very nice, slow story that they're telling between the two. Because they're not in any hurry to really end this. I mean, this is something that they could very easily carry at the pace that they're going through to probably SummerSlam. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is build this to be a really big match at SummerSlam.
But this is going to be the greatest wrestling match of all time.
I don't understand why they keep saying that, because there's no way it can live up to that, right? There's just not. I mean, no offense to Edge and Randy Orton, but there's just no way that in terms of a wrestling match, this is going to live up because, again, there are the hearts. There's every other great wrestler ever in the history of annals.
You mean
like, and then there's Shawn Michaels, you know?
And Ric Flair.
And Ric Flair. And
who made,
you know,
who made his pick tonight of Randy Orton's going to win.
Of course he picked his boy. But I will say this. If they're going to insist on using music from The Greatest Showman, I'm going to respectfully request that somebody go get Hugh Jackman and have him excitedly sing the music while they wrestle. Or before they wrestle. It doesn't matter when. But just please go get Hugh Jackman and have him on the show.
Again.
Because one, Hugh Jackman is sunshine and light, and we all love him very much, and he's a big-ass wrestling fan. And so I'm sure he would be delighted to do it if he has time.
He can zoom in. It's fine.
You're fine. It's fine. But yeah, just if we're going to use music from The Greatest Showman, please have Hugh Jackman show up. Like, I don't know if I said it on the show or if I said it to Rock off air one night, but it's like, it would be really cool for WrestleMania if they used some of The Greatest Showman music for WrestleMania specifically and they had Hugh Jackman show up and perform. It would be stupid, but it would be cool.
So there you go on that. I'm trying to think of what anything else I missed. No, we're pretty much good there. Oh no, wait, the one other thing. R-Truth was cutting a promo and he talked about, it's not Tom Brady who's 24/7, it's Rob Gronkowski, and he now knows it. And it said Ron and Rob and a whole bunch of different names. And then we had a response from the 24/7 champion.
They found him.
They found him, and he basically he has his eyes in the back of his head waiting for R-Truth.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I wanted the camera person to tackle Gronkowski and take the title and run off with it. I would have laughed hysterically if that had happened, but I understand why they did it. It was a good promo by Gronkowski and by R-Truth. But yeah, I am very much looking forward to the shenanigans that are going to occur in the NFL, if they do occur, with that title. Because I'm just waiting for somebody to tackle him, and you see just a football ref drop to the ground and go 1-2-3, and boom, they win the title. Which is a question. Could a football ref technically count the 1-2-3? He's a referee.
He's a referee.
I mean, does it have to be a wrestling referee, or can it just be a referee?
I do not know.
Does it also cover umpires?
It may.
We need a ruling on this.
Someone go find out the answer. We have the MVP lounge with MVP's guest, Drew McIntyre.
He messed up the set. Drew, that is so rude. Also, I feel like if you're going to have a bottle of champagne sitting there, somebody should pop the bottle.
Basically, this boils down to MVP knows that McIntyre is going to lose to Lashley. Because Lashley's waited 9 years for a title match. A WWE title match. McIntyre said he doesn't need anyone thinking or talking for him. He doesn't need someone like MVP kissing his ass. He talked about Lashley saying one thing was true, that the only way he'll take the title from him if he takes it out of his cold, dead hands. MVP goes like, that could be arranged. As Lashley made his entrance, MVP got Claymore kicked right in the face. Good little segment.
Solid.
And this led to a lot of stuff backstage with MVP having a lot of giving him ice, and then MVP manning up and challenging the Street Profits for a match tonight on Raw. And that was your main event, Street Profits versus MVP and Lashley. Ended in a disqualification. When Lashley didn't release the hold, so there was that. Drew McIntyre came out and made the save. And we had a bunch of trainees get into the stage, and they were pulling apart McIntyre and Lashley and Monday Night Raw. This was a better show.
This was a very enjoyable show. I like this much better than I have in the past couple weeks. They're starting to build a backlash. This is, again, I think what really helped was having people there, people cheering. This felt more like Monday Night Raw than it has in a while. So yeah, I thought this was good. I thought this was very enjoyable. And we roll on to next week, I guess, or to SmackDown. No, actually, technically to NXT, but then to SmackDown, which better have Bray Wyatt on it. Or we're gonna have words. That man has not been on TV in 2 weeks. I understand it was his birthday. But I need my psycho, okay? Just
I just need it.
I showed up on my birthday, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he did. He did. He showed up on his birthday and he did two shows.
I mean, let's go. Anyway, this has been the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack.
That's right, tune in. We will have news, notes, NXT. We are talking the Undertaker documentary, and if the creeks don't rise, I will hopefully have internet. And it doesn't crash like it did this past Thursday. So if you want to check out the mini show that I ended up having to do from my phone because my internet is annoying, tune in, check that out. It's available in the archives. But tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the regular show where hopefully everybody pray Comcast does not screw up and I have interwebs.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio available this week. We see CB Radio not so live talking AEW Double or Nothing. We assume.
There were ponies.
Yeah, there was a lot of things going on. We should have a review up that show. Also, speaking of reviews, check out the Rack Extra reviews. The new DK book, that'll be available this week as well. Speaking of things on Saturday, tune in around, 2 o'clock? Eastern, twitch.tv/WTRLive, and probably twitch.tv/Lentoward for the Doomsday event, whatever it may be in Fortnite.
If I have my on-air screen up, would somebody for the love of God tell me?
Yeah, so we'll probably be streaming the live event, so be there. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio should in theory be back, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post, 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop, #@#EpicPartner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, LNSWD, and twitch.tv/LensWard. Follow me on Twitch. We're trying to get to affiliate so I can give y'all fish butts.
This has been the Raw Post Show, live along the airways of Wild Talk Radio. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack and right back in for the Raw Post Show every Monday night along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive. Never gonna keep me down.